You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is hour number two of the Sports Hangover. We're live at Pelicans Media Day. On the scores table, we've already spoken with head coach Alvin Gentry, Jordan Crawford, Mr. Instagritz himself, and Drew Holiday, and one of the newest members of the Pels, Tony Allen. Just chatted with him at the top of the hour. Still got plenty to get into with your New Orleans Saints. Yesterday, of course, getting that big win over the Panthers, 34-13. I'm not saying you forgot what it sounded like, but why not go back and hear what a win sounds like? Right? Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm talking about. Panthers going down to the Saints. Four sacks, three interceptions. The defense doing their job on the offense. Michael Thomas had a huge day. I'm looking for game balls. I'm looking for attaboys. I'm looking as for who has to have a seat and have a little chat with head coach Sean Payton. First, let's get us going in the mood.
Pointing out Kenny McCarroll. Third down at three. Into trouble. Down he goes. Cam Jordan back at the 19-yard line with the sack. A touchdown this season. Four receivers to the left side. Breeze looking right. He throws to the end zone. Touchdown. There is a flag. Michael Thomas. His fifth reception for the New Orleans score. Against New England. Turner back in at right guard for Carolina. Off the fake to McCaffrey. Pass is picked off. Newton's pass intercepted. Take it back to the 24-yard line. First and 10 from the 11 off the fake to Peterson. Breeze to the end zone. Touchdown, Brandon Coleman. Second down and 8. Breeze looked right. Now fires downfield for Ted Ginn Jr. And he makes the catch for a Saints touchdown. 40 yards from Breeze. The former Panther, Ted Ginn Jr. Panthers must get to the 35 for first down. Pass deflected. And picked off. The second Saints interception today. It's Marcus Williams. Newton steps up. Fires and it's intercepted by Vaccaro. Kenny Vaccaro with the third pick for the Saints today. And he takes it back inside the 35-yard line.
Pat Ryan in Atlanta. You got to be on your game almost every week.
Well, Kamara certainly on his as he takes it in for a Saints touchdown. Alvin Kamara with his first NFL score.
You had to love the way the team really came out and performed. Now, look, again, we talked about leading into this game. You look at a Carolina offense that was struggling to not get but 9 points against Buffalo in a win there. Defense was still going to be good. They suffered two injuries in the game that did affect the right. Kelvin Benjamin early in the game, he went out with his leg and knee, got bent backwards. It was kind of a nasty-looking thing. And then Thomas Davis Jr., the linebacker, and there left Kuechly in that defense still alone. Still, you had to be happy with how this team showed up. They looked better, and I think that's what Saints fans wanted to see. Be competitive. Give yourselves a chance. They did that. Now, granted, that first drive might have gotten you a little nervous, right, when the Panthers open up the game, and they go 15 plays, 8 minutes, 41 seconds to lead 3-0. However, Cam Jordan with one of the four sacks, you know, preventing Carolina from scoring a touchdown and kind of setting the tone a little bit there. But you also love the offense. Ensuing drive, they come down, and they have a drive themselves. 13 plays, 75 yards, 5:57. Michael Thomas being contacted over in the end zone there. Beautiful play. And more importantly, on that drive, he had 5 catches in the drive, and I thought set the tone. I kept saying this during the Vikings game, go to 13. He is your best player. They kept going to him over and over again. Head coach Sean Payton on the win.
Look, it was good to get one. Obviously, you know, there is that sense of urgency, and you know, oftentimes in our league, those are important those are important things to know. You know, I think we had a good week of practice. I thought we had some good things early on happen. First drive was good. Then defensively, the first turnover resulted in a touchdown. And look, there'll be a lot we have to clean up, but I was pleased the players were able to get a win.
One of those rare times that rushes outweighed passes, right? In other words, you had more one than the other. New Orleans on the ground, hard to believe, 149 yards, 27 carries. I thought Mark Ingram ran with purpose. My goodness, every time he touched the ball, he ran angry, right? I mean, he did. He was running fast. He was running hard. I loved it. Alvin Kamara, he just rushed twice. One was for 25 yards and for that touchdown. Adrian Peterson, 9 carries, 33 yards. I thought the balance was perfect. I thought one didn't seem forced more than the other, if that makes any sense. On a receiving end, 22 receptions to the 27 carries, by the way. Michael Thomas led the way with 7 for 87. Everyone else, it was either 2 or it was either 1, kind of going into it for a little bit. Here's quarterback Drew Brees letting you know what he thought here on the victory.
Felt great to get a win. Felt great to break the seal. You know, I feel like we as a team have been making steps in the right direction. And it's just little things, you know. I think we all felt like we were a lot closer than maybe it seemed or felt, you know, just when you come away with 2 losses, you know, like that to start the season when, you know, there was such this sense of urgency to get things started fast. It'd be easy to get disappointed and maybe down, but, man, just got back to basics this week in some ways. You know, knew that we just, you know, if we could just take care of some of these things that are really little things, but yet they can make a big difference, you know. Staying on the field on third down, we did a good job of that all game long offensively. Scored touchdowns in the red zone. You know, those have been 2 points of emphasis, obviously, after the first 2 weeks. Defense did a great job today. You know, after that first 2 drives, just settling in and, you know, getting us 3 turnovers, I mean, that's huge. You get 3 short fields like that. You know, we felt like we played the game on their side of the field for the most part, which had a huge thing to do with the victory.
No doubt, for sure. We'll hear more from the New Orleans Saints a second. As we said, we're here at Live at Pelicans Media Day. Jake Madison has got some exciting news. He's going to tell us here shortly this week. Maybe your Twitter. Follow him on Twitter, @NolaJake. You know we have him during the basketball season here as well. During Media Day, we've had Coach Gentry on the show. We've had Drew Holiday, Tony Allen. I love the attitude you're hearing. Jordan Crawford here as well. They realize, and I think Drew said it best, Tony Allen said it best, it's serious now with the West, with all the moves. Melo to the Thunder, Paul to the Rockets, Butler to the T-Wolves. I'm probably missing some.
Oh, no. You know, it's interesting because the NBA offseason is never a boring time as moves were being made, you know, as soon as this weekend and training camps open today. So certainly it's interesting you mentioned these guys talking about kind of the importance and it's serious and you're in the Western Conference and you need to get this done. Dell Demps and Alvin Gentry kind of downplayed that need for a fast start and, yeah, and that kind of pressure building up. But the players definitely feel it, and I kind of like that attitude from them. They know it's time. We need to make the playoffs here in New Orleans. They need to get serious. They can't get off to a rough start like they've gotten off to the past 2 years. It's nice to see them kind of taking this attitude, and it seems to be fostering some strong team chemistry. That's one of my biggest takeaways that I've seen from Media Day here today is these guys are all in this together. They're one team. They're coming together. They understand the importance of what's going on.
Which is interesting because you kind of get the sense and feel, don't you, from at least from the outside folks, this is going to be a divisive team. Rondo, Boogie, all these different personalities. And let's be honest, we've talked about this. How is it all going to sort of work? But you just heard them inside talking with the media. We're going to have them here in a second with Rondo. I was surprised Alvin Gentry said this is his team. He's telling him, you run the offense. You run. It's AD's team, but it's Rondo's offense to run.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've got a lot of big personalities in this locker room, and you've got to wonder, is it combustible, anything like that? But that doesn't seem to be the case whatsoever. They've come together as a group, and the natural, I guess, pecking order might be the way to put it,
right,
has kind of established itself. And they all understand and know their roles, which is a big thing. You don't want there to be any infighting during the season. And it doesn't look like, even though a lot of outside media thinks that might be the case, that that's going to happen here in New Orleans this season.
I think one of the interesting things as well, Jake, that speaking with Jake Madison, @NolaJake's the way to follow him over on Twitter, one of the things that will be interesting to sort of see is how this start sort of goes. Because I did ask that question to Coach Gentry, and he's like, well, look, 8-12 on the road. You got the Cavs. You got the Warriors. I didn't want to feel or put words in his mouth, but it was almost like, well, let's be patient. We got a marathon. There's 82 games. We're going to get better. I think he doesn't really know in terms of the expectation. We don't know until the games start going out there. I did like, though, it does seem like there's confidence amongst these players that they feel, look, it's basketball, we can get this done.
Yeah, and they understand the importance. They got off to, I think it was a 1-10 start last season. The
I mean,
year
that just can't
that.
Happen,
It can't
Jake.
Happen again, right. Especially not in the Western Conference. Right now, it's almost like an arms race out there, and it's going to be quite tough to make the playoffs. These players know that. They know they need to come together sooner rather than later, and I think they're all trying to build this up and get through this training camp, get everything sorted out so that game one they hit the ground running.
One of the things that Drew said that stood out to me, he said you have to sacrifice on this team, that he understands it, other players have to understand it. Does that mean we have to adjust how we're going to cover this team in terms of who gets the shots, who's this, who's that? You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. DeMarcus Cousins, who spoke a couple minutes ago, said the biggest thing in here is they're all just trying to win, and they're not as worried about stats. They're all just trying to get the W first and foremost. So while we might look at all of these guys and think, you know, Davis should be scoring 30 a game, Cousins should be scoring 30 a game, depending on the matchups and the unique makeup of this team, able to go big, able to go small too, don't forget, even though they do have these two big men,
right.
You know, it might skew their game plans on a night tonight basis depending on the opponent. So you might have a game where DeMarcus Cousins is almost acting as a decoy, kind of being quiet, while Davis takes over, and then the next game it might be very different depending on what's going to help them win the most. And I think you'll see that in the media saying these guys aren't working together, one scoring, one isn't. But ultimately, as long as they're getting the W, I think that's the biggest thing.
Drew said he used to be scared to go up against Tony Allen, knowing that matchup was coming, bringing that sort of toughness there. Clark Rondo, playoff teams, championships is what they've been a part of here as well. When I brought that up to Coach Gentry, he said this locker room needed it.
Oh, yeah, you needed kind of these guys who've been through this sort of, I guess, thing is the best word. I'm being nebulous here. But who guys understand kind of the grind and the mentality it takes to reach the playoffs, to fight through a tough Western Conference. You've got that in Tony Allen, who's made the playoffs most of his years there with Memphis, playing a very
and defensive. And that's a blue-collared, I mean, rough, not sexy team, but they will make you work.
You know, he's known as the grind father, grit and grind style there in Memphis. This wasn't a flashy, you know, 80s Showtime Lakers team. They had to kind of get to the playoffs a different way and play a different style of ball, focusing on defense and less offensively than what was kind of in vogue in the NBA during this time. And this is going to have to be the same case for the Pelicans. They're not getting to the NBA playoffs by playing small and fast all the time. They're going to have to kind of go against the grain. We're going to hear that a lot with the NBA and the Pelicans this season, playing two bigs and playing a very different style. Having a guy who succeeded in doing that, I think, is definitely an important thing to add to this locker room.
Final thing for you, Jake, is I think it's going to be interesting as you're going to cover the league, obviously, and the Pels that come on with us during the season. I'm not going to say how tough can it be. Well, get that. How different do you think the West is actually going to be with some of these players coming in and how you have to look at it in terms of, I don't think you're going to see a bunch of teams that have 40, 50, or, you know, 50, 60 wins. I think it's going to be more of maybe a bunch in the mid to high 40s.
Yeah, especially in the bottom four.
They're going to beat
seeds.
Each other up.
It's kind of like when you look at, like, the SEC and you want to say they're having a down year. I'm playing to the audience here in the South as I do this, where some of these teams have bad records because they're just playing against really other good teams and you can't win every single game you play. And I think you're going to see that here in the Western Conference. More or less, you kind of have the top four teams set in Golden State, in San Antonio, in Houston, and now OKC, especially after the Carmelo Anthony trade. And these next four playoff seeds are up for grabs between like eight teams. Right. And they're all going to play each other a bunch, and they're going to win some, and they're going to lose some. Mm-hmm. So even though you're going to have a team maybe that's 42-40 making the playoffs as an eight seed, they're a by far better team than their record indicates and would be, you know, the fifth seed in the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to be excited to see this go. I mean, it's a short, and for fans too, it's around the corner. I mean, it's a short preseason. It camps 1 week. Then October 3rd, next Tuesday, Jake's the first preseason game. The first regular season game is not this Wednesday, but four Wednesdays is the first regular season game. It's right around the corner. So you're off and running to get going. I say the 20 games, you're going to get an idea. you got to go. If you can go 500, I think this team would be very happy.
Yeah, I think 500 to start the year, they will be thrilled. If they can get above that, which I think they can potentially do. You know, the most interesting thing to me this year is this is a really big experiment that the league as a whole needs to pay attention to. Right now, teams want to go small. They want to follow that Golden State type of offense. And you don't see bigs like this working, and teams have gotten away from this. The Pels realized they couldn't go along with what the league was doing and be competitive. This might fail. Certainly might. We don't know yet. But over these first 20 games, we're going to get an idea if running two bigs is a way you can still win in the NBA and in its experiment. And the players know this, too. DeMarcus Cousins said he's excited to show that, you know, they can change the way the league is kind of viewed and how to win here. That's the biggest storyline to me, just league-wide as a whole, as I kind of digress here. But, you know, it's interesting to see. Can you win with two bigs? And if they do this, you might have teams starting to go this method.
I said it to Coach when he was walking away. I said it's going to be must-watch TV to start the season. It just is. I mean, the games they're playing, the teams they're playing, and whether or not this works or not. You and I have talked about this. It's going to be a beautiful disaster, or it's going to be a fun season, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's a beautiful disaster, look for this team to try and make moves around the trade deadline right. Because they've got to do something.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, it makes it interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's all you want from a fan standpoint. Just, you know, I don't want to come in here and yawn.
No, it's going to be engaging all year. Again, you know, if this works, it's kind of a game changer league-wide, and you can see the Pelicans making the playoffs, and then if they do get in, teams aren't going to know how to defend against them, and maybe they cause some damage and get out of the first round. It's an exciting time.
Jake, what can we be expecting here in the near future from you?
So as you all know, I host the daily Locked On podcast, the only podcast coming to you daily covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. And I've written for bourbonstreetshots.com in the past. There'll be a new website launching. I can't go into the specifics just yet till we get there, but in the next couple of weeks, stay tuned for where you'll be able to see my writing and analysis and giving you the best in-depth Pelicans coverage.
And of course, you'll be right here on the Sports Hangover.
I can't wait all season
Thanks,
long
as always, man. Get back in there, appreciate it. When we come back, we'll hear more from quarterback Drew Brees and Sean Payton as we continue live from Pelicans Media Day. Saints win, LSU won, Tulane won, and hoops is around the corner. I love the month of October. We're just a couple of days away from the calendar turning into that. And you know what? I'm not even going to go into meteorology. Our resident meteorologist, Joey, over there. I think there's going to be some northern winds, less humidity by the weekend. I'm just saying, starting to turn, honestly, into fall, which came last Friday, 90-plus degrees. Sports Hangover, ESPN New Orleans. GCAT underscore 17, and of course at ESPN Radio NOLA. That's right. I was trying to make light of the situation of how silly the Western Conference is with the talent going in there. I said, you guys chuckling there going, wow, another guy went in there. Carmelo Anthony to the Thunder. Chichi get the Yayo 83 on Twitter. I don't know if I could say that fast again, Joey. He says, Tony Allen told Gus, we're not chuckling. Flock up. Ah, yes. I'm looking forward to this season. I think it'll be fun to see what this basketball team can do coming into it for sure. 800-998-1003 is the way to chime in if you'd like to. At ESPN Radio NOLA here as well. So many different ways you can kind of look at the Saints game yesterday. I want a game ball, I want an attaboy, and who needs to have a seat and have a chat with Coach? It was funny. Hour one, Joey, some people called and said, Coach needs to have a chat with Coach. Because the first two games, inactive, were Ken Crawley. Do you remember last week? We played this back on Friday over at Old Saint on Friday, where we are each and every Friday. Ken Crawley, inactive those first two games. How did he feel about that?
I say it got with me a little bit, but I always keep my head high and keep working. I seen it as motivation just to keep getting better. And each and every week, I just kept getting better and just staying on what I do best.
Well, all he did yesterday, Joey, was lead the Saints defense in tackles. 9-8 solo, one tackle for loss. Second on the team in tackles. The rookies is another point of that I want to say that stood out to me in the win yesterday, as Alex Anzalone had seven tackles, four solo as well. Look, you got to be happy with the way the rookies performed yesterday. Alvin Kamara, he had a touchdown. He had Marcus Williams with an absolutely incredible interception, the tip off of Kenny Vaccaro. And speaking of Vaccaro, I thought it was interesting Mike Triplett, ESPN.com, asked Coach Payton, did he like how Kenny rebounded from the benching that took place last week? Remember, Kenny Vaccaro called for holding on defense. We never saw him again after a little chewing out on the sideline. Coach on it.
Well, listen, he first off, it wasn't an official benching. I know that that's perfect for ESPN, but he and Vaughn are playing, and look, it was fantastic. I thought we did a good job defensively against some of the different personnel groupings that we got. You know, they've got some different looks when you're facing Stewart and then McCaffrey, then both of them are in the game, so that I thought we settled into some of those personnel groupings and defensively made some plays.
All right, so Coach is saying it wasn't a benching, but how about, Joe, just a message sent? A message sent for sure. Four sacks, three turnovers on the day, Coach.
Each week we make an emphasis on the takeaways and ball security offensively. But if you looked at this series, specifically this team, it was going to be probably one of the most important stats in the game. It was good to get some takeaways offensively. We were smart with the ball. We had one play where they, you know, we almost turned it over. I thought we had pretty good balance. It's a pretty good defensive front that we were playing. And I thought, you know, we played a pretty good complementary game. I felt like the first half, most of it was spent on their side of the 50. And when mistakes were to come up, we were able to benefit from it. So that was good.
Saw already on Twitter some people saying the game ball should go to the offensive line at the very least, an attaboy. As one of the things that you see in this offensive line is you saw what? Pete still again over at left guard. Kelemete at left, I'm sorry, at left tackle, left guard Kelemete. And Ryan Ramczyk, I thought played well. I mean, look, Drew Brees was sacked once, but it didn't feel like he was overwhelmingly pressured most of the game. And that's a good defense. They came into the league. Look, I get it. It was Buffalo, it was San Francisco. The numbers are the numbers. They were the number one ranked defense heading into week three. I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, if we're going to pick on the Saints being ranked 32nd. By the way, Joey, congratulations. The Saints have moved up one spot over all the 31st ranked defense.
Yes.
Dude, what do you have to do to move up more than one spot? My goodness, four sacks, three interceptions, and you only moved up one spot overall ranking? Goodness. But, yes, they moved up one spot. So things are looking – well – it's one game. Point is, Brees, 131 quarterback rating. It was 22 of 29, 220, three TDs, no interceptions. Oh, by the way, I have to say it just because it was a question he was asked. I'm not jinxing. Don't even play the sounder, Joey. But Brees, so far, no interceptions on the season. No interceptions so far in the season.
Obviously, that's been a huge point of emphasis for our team, for me personally. And just again, trying to be efficient, put us in the best position to win.
Exactly. You know, nice job for him. Oh, come on, stop it! I did not jinx him. It was a question that was asked. I'm simply bringing up the fact that Drew Brees has a very nice start to the season. Considering the first two games, they were down a lot, so that I throw the ball a lot. Just saying, Joey. Just saying. No interceptions this season. It doesn't mean just because I said it, you'll have a 7 interception game against the Dolphins.
No, you just.
That's not what's happening. Stop
no.
it.
Oh, please.
If he what? It's not happening.
If he throws 7 interceptions.
He's not throwing seven interceptions.
I'm putting it on Discovery Channel. I'm going to my knee and I will protest.
You're doing the show on Monday if he throws 7 interceptions. Because they'll look for me. They'll be looking for me. You know, one of the best ways for Drew Brees to not have 7 interceptions, use the receiver that you know is going to always either be open or catch the ball. Michael Thomas, that first drive, 5 catches on the touchdown drive and a 13-play drive to answer a sweet Carolina scoring drive. 7 for 87, 12.4 on average. And I thought established an attitude. Joey, I thought he established an attitude. You know, he took a pop, man, when the safety hit him near side, when Brees, he got just past the zone in a 2-deep zone there, and the safety popped him, and he caught it, and he did first down, Saints. You know, I was like, I think he sets the tone. He's a solid route runner. He's trustworthy. I love it. Drew Brees on Michael Thomas's game because, again, I thought he set the tone early.
Obviously, his number was getting called, but it's, you know, there's these plays where that ball can go to a lot of different places depending on the look. And, you know, he was able to get open and do great things when he got the ball in his hand. The first touchdown was a really nice play on his part because, you know, really he's kind of doubled and he's able to shake free and then, you know, make a play on the ball. So that was a good way to start the game.
See, I get all of that. And this is what we were talking about last week about the Saints' philosophy. Should they at least adjust it? I'm not saying change it completely. You are your DNA. But adjusting it may not be a bad thing, right? I mean, look, I get you want to spread the ball around and whoever can get it. That's fine. It's fine. I like more what I saw yesterday. What am I talking about? All right, so Michael Thomas, 7 receptions. Everybody else, Ted Ginn Jr., 2. Mark Ingram, 2. Kobe Fleener, 1. Tommy Lee Lewis, 3. Brandon Coleman, 1. Stop it, Brian Enola East. I know, all he does is catch touchdowns. They only threw to him once. He caught a touchdown pass, so I can't say anything this week, Joey. They literally threw to him one time in the game, and he caught it, and it happened to be a touchdown. Alvin Kamara, 3 receptions. Adrian Peterson, 2 receptions. Josh Hill, 1. So it wasn't even close. Michael Thomas was the focal point of the passing game. That I like this. Spread it everywhere else. Give everybody 2-3 receptions. Michael Thomas needs to be the guy that you go to. That's what I was freaking out about against the Vikings. You know, there's no reason that guy shouldn't be getting touch after touch after touch after touch, pass after pass, early on, third downs, fourth downs. When I need him, Michael Thomas should have been the guy to get the ball. Into break, head coach Sean Payton on Michael Thomas's play.
You know, we got him matched up on a linebacker a couple times. They have some oddball coverages, and, you know, he's one of those guys that I think is real good after the ball's in his hands. So you saw, I think, a fair amount of run after the catch yards from him. He converted a third down. He had a number of big plays, and I think it helps get him going certainly early on.
No, he's your Pro Bowl receiver. I mean, that's who I say. He's your all-pro, Pro Bowl-type receiver. He needs to be your guy. He needs to be the guy each and every week defenses go, that guy can kill us. That's what he needs to be. Spread it around. Dump it here, dump it there. That's your guy. He needs to be your money guy. Sports Hangover continues next. Inside of 30 minutes before Matt Moscone and after further review comes, Boogie making his way into the arena. Hopefully we can get him in before the top of the hour. We're at live at Pelicans Media Day. It's been fun. We've talked to Coach Gentry, Jordan Crawford, Drew Holiday, and Tony Allen so far. We'll see if we can get some more players before we wrap up. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Ah, yes. There it is. I tell you, you know what's interesting about doing a post-game show is we are each and every Sunday the bottom line.
What is
which
that?
We'll have it. We'll what have it right after, Gus? Of course, the game starts at 8:30. It'll end around 11:30, live at Buffalo Wild Wings, corner of Veterans and Severn. We'll be live with you, John Forkey and myself. The most interesting thing is right as that game ends, the amount of people with I told you so's, tweeting, calling, you name it, I told you, including our social media manager, Nick, who, I mean, I'm just waiting for him at some point this week. I know he's just going to show up in studio. Probably, I'm glad I'm at the Smoothie King Center because he's probably going to walk in and just probably head-to-toe Saints gear.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, maybe a Minnesota ticket in hand. You know, I mean, it's Super Bowl bound. I mean, Super Bowl bound. One win.
Yep.
One win. You know, as a matter of fact, Sean Payton was asked about how bad this Carolina offense was.
Well, I think it's easy to look at that from afar, but then when you take away a guy like Olsen and then you take away a guy like Benjamin, you know, it becomes challenging in the offense you're used to running. So we'll have a chance to look at all the tape, you know, really focused on our players.
Yeah, again, I'm not trying to take away from it, but you don't have Olsen, you don't have Benjamin, and I mean, I'm not going to be ugly and mean and say that Cam Newton couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, but I mean, he's not the most accurate quarterback in there. There is one thing that stood out to me, though, that I thought was important. And again, game ball attaboys, and who needs to have a sit down with Coach Payton, if not Coach Payton himself, because some people said, why did we not have the Saints? Ken Crawley play inactive the first two games, leads the team in tackles yesterday. One of the things that I did find interesting was, as we talked about in the post game, Drew Brees last week said this about winning the game, not just on Sunday, but before. In other words, the work that you do Monday through Friday can really go a long way with you winning the game on Sunday. So that's what he said last Wednesday after practice meeting with the media.
I mean, step by step. And I think you have to start with the process and the preparation. And just understanding that you don't just go out on Sunday and snap your fingers and it happens. There's so much that goes into the preparation for game day that, you know, we talk about winning the game before you even play it. You know, winning the game before you get there. And then you go out and the game becomes fun. You know, things slow down because you've seen it so many times on film, or you've practiced it so many times, or you've anticipated it, visualized it in your head. And I think once you begin to, you know, reap the benefits or see the success from the work, from the preparation, that's what breeds then the confidence and creates the momentum.
So you heard what Bree said there on Wednesday. Kenny Vaccaro in the locker room yesterday on his interception. That is to say.
I saw the ball. To be honest, I was trying to tip it up and maybe try to catch it myself, but when it went over my head, I knew Mark was going to be there. We talked about it before the game. Tips and overthrows, you got to catch them. In my pick, I just knew the play. Watched film all week, knew exactly where the ball was going.
Said he knew the play. Knew the play, knew it was coming. And steady film all week. Alvin Kamara in the locker room on his touchdown.
You know, we had a lot of good looks in practice and some good film that, you know, we watched, and we knew what looks we were getting, and we knew where the ball was hitting. And, you know, the O-line did a great job, you know, getting body on the body and just getting a good push, you know. And I just trusted the read and fit it and got up the sideline and got in. I thought they were going to take it away from me, but I ended up getting it.
Perfect. Boy, if that's not exactly what Sean Payton said, Drew Brees said back on Wednesday, right, about being able to win the game Monday through Friday. And you heard two players right there on two different plays that affected the game, an interception and a touchdown, and having it happen based off of film study, practice, reps, the works right there. I think it's just a great example that you can see what they're talking about, what they were doing, and why it matters. You have to at this level. Know what's coming and what's paying attention to, and you know, and they jump those routes. And PJ Williams, you know, I don't have sound from him, but I bet you if you ask him, he jumped that route too. He probably knew that play was coming, or they had studied it and knew it was happening for sure. Drew Brees overall, as you can imagine, on the win, thought was what was pretty solid. And Alvin Kamara being able to get a touchdown, we'll hear what he has to say on that. But just overall, just executing the game plan was something that Brees was happy about.
They're a really good group, you know, and so we knew we had our work cut out for us. We knew there was going to be a lot of just, you know, marching the ball down the field methodically, where take what they give you and you know, be patient. You know, we were able to hit a couple big plays, but for the most part, I felt like it was pretty methodical.
Also, I thought, again, we mentioned going into the break, Michael Thomas needs to be the guy that you constantly go to, establish a rhythm, establish something going on there. Ted Ginn, you know, he could have had two TDs in the game. Ginn being overthrown by Drew Brees. I love this too, Joey. This was fun on Twitter. People saying that he should have dove for the completion where Brees threw the ball about 5 yards ahead of him. I mean, I would have liked, I guess, if you want him to dive. That's right. Yeah. There's no way he was catching that pass.
No.
It was wide open.
No.
It was a beautiful double move. He got wide open. But seriously, there, I got immediate tweets. I was like, man, Brees just missed it there, and it could have been a touchdown. And I mean, like, instantaneously I got, he needs to make a better effort and dive. I'm like, man, no mercy from folks. But Brees on Ginn being able to make a play.
Man, it was great. It was great. Ted's been a great addition, and you know, there's a lot of things that he can do, very versatile. I know a lot of guys touched the ball today. A lot of guys had you know, their hand in this victory. But, you know, that's what we like to do as an offense. We like to spread it around.
You know, one of the things that stood out as well, as we said, some of the guys could be good in getting game balls is the offensive line and the blocking that they did. The Alvin Kamara TD was beautiful. I mean, no matter how you look at it, whatever angle, whatever view you see, was spectacular. You saw the crease right there, patience. You saw power. You saw balance to stay in bounds, vision. I this kid so good. Brees on the Kamara TD.
That's a good thing, you know. Kamara getting the first touchdown, and on a really nice run. You know, the way he was able to fit through that hole and get through it very quickly, and then kind of tiptoe the sideline to get in the end zone was impressive. But you know, a lot of young guys making plays today. That's great for their confidence and great for our confidence as a team.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the biggest things that you saw was just it felt better. Didn't it, Joey? I don't even know if that's even a correct way or smart way to put it. It just felt better, the usage of the running backs in that game. It just felt like there was a flow. It felt like there was a reason to have all that more. It's just the more and more you got the sense and feel that they had some sort of rhythm going. It just felt better. I don't know how else to really put it.
Adjective.
Yeah, it felt better. I think Sean Payton had a good feel and rhythm for the play calling.
He really did. And I think what you're looking at is they took control. And you felt like doing control from the beginning after that.
Well, after the first drive. Yeah, because after the first drive, people were making their way to the, you know, to the lifeboats.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying the ship was sinking, but they were just in case. They're like, did you feel that? You know, just in case, let's just make our way over to the lifeboats. I mean,
we were sitting down watching, and the first words that came out of my mouth was, when the Saints scored, was that was smooth.
That's all right. No, that opening drive was very smooth. And again, you got to give credit to the offensive line.
Yeah.
And again, though, just go to your guy. Go to Michael Thomas. Just go to your guy. And remember, Willie Snead comes back this week. So Willie Snead will be available for the Dolphins. And look, thanks, you know, to Tommy Lee Lewis. And I know Brian Enola East right now is going, I will thank Brandon Coleman as well. Willie Snead's going to help. And the main area he's going to help is he's your third down guy. And again, look, I'm not picking on Kobe Fleener, but the thing I remember the most yesterday wasn't his one catch for 21 yards. I mean, it was a 21-yard catch. I remember the pass interference call negating a big play on offense. Not probably what a lot of fans expected for $7 million. I'm not picking on him. I'm just, you know, $7 million, 21 yards. I mean, where can I sign up for that? You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I could catch 21 yards. Think I could get open, Joey? You think I could get open one play in the NFL?
Oh, definitely.
One play? You really think so? I mean, I think if Drew Brees is the quarterback, I got a shot. But I don't know if I could get open. You know what I mean? It might need to be like first and goal from the two. No, because then it'd be hand fighting. I don't know. Never mind. You know what? It's kind of like the old adage, can you make a shot, or you think you could make a shot in an NBA game or a free throw? I think I could. I think a free throw I could knock down for sure. One final bite before we go to break from head coach Sean Payton. And it was on the offensive line. As I said, I thought they did a solid job allowing Brees to get in the rhythm. They opened up holes for the running game. You know what? I didn't forget it. The screen game, I thought, finally looked good for the Saints here as well. Ingram running with purpose, especially in those screen passes, that one for 25 yards. You just saw a lot of that. And again, just the flow, just the feel, just the look on that offense. It was a good defense. Again, I know it was Buffalo, and I know it was San Francisco they played coming into that game against the Saints. You still have to execute, and you still have to do it. They were, Carolina, the number one ranked defense in the NFL going into the game. Peyton on the O-line.
So, and look, that was the one. This is a good front, like real good. And I was pleased that we were able to run the ball like we were and provide the protection. It wasn't always perfect, but that was a good group we won against.
There you go. Take a quick break. We come back. We'll wrap up final segment here. Maybe we'll get a chance to have one more Pels player as they're starting to make their way over there. Boogie going through the gauntlet of photographers to get their pictures done. Might have time to get them in before we wrap up the show. If you missed anything, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud. We spoke with head coach Alvin Gentry. We spoke with Jordan Crawford. We spoke with Tony Allen. We spoke with Drew Holiday. So we'll have some more players here. We got to wrap it up at 3 o'clock. Matt Moskonen, after further review, will have more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. As Joey's getting in the mood for the Saints in London this week, they landed around 4 to 5 a.m. earlier today. Left straight from Charlotte yesterday, so they are safe and sound over across the pond, as they say, taking on the Dolphins yesterday. Miami, one of the surprise games for sure, I thought, when you take a look at that scoreboard. And, that offense didn't exactly get going to say the least. By the way, Monday Night Football, Cowboys Cardinals, Dallas, a 3-point favorite over in Glendale, Arizona, is that game. So you take a look at where the Dolphins were yesterday. They lose 20-6, and those 6 points came in the fourth quarter, late in that fourth quarter.
To who?
The New York Jets.
Jets. J-E-T-S.
Don't make fun of them. The Saints are playing those dastardly New York Jets later on this season.
Yeah, but they peaked now.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's it.
They peaked already?
That's it.
Wow. They had 103 yards on the ground rushing.
See?
Yeah, see? There you go. And Josh McCown, 18 of 23, 249. Jay Cutler, 26 of 46, 220, a TD, a pick. He was sacked three times. And on the ground, saint-like performance in the past, 15 carries for 30 yards. That was surprising to me. That was really surprising. Saints going to face not one, two former Saints. Joey, Kenny Stills, four receptions, 51 yards yesterday, and Stephon Anthony is going to be playing, no doubt, making his debut, did not play yesterday as he was traded, middle of the week last week over to Miami. I think he was there for Wednesday's practice. So
what is he going to do, give all our defensive secrets away?
I mean, look, I'm sure they can debrief him and stuff, but if you go by the way the Saints coaching staff talked about it, he didn't know how to dissect or do anything now, so he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it for Miami.
Oh.
You know? I mean, who knows if he could have done it or not. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see if he can do that or not. But anyway, so that's what happened there. A little NFL music, Joey, as we go through the rest of the scoreboard that took place yesterday. I thought, again, there was a handful of games that I was a little shocked. Starting with the game in London early in the morning, Jaguars 44-7 over the Ravens. Joe Flacco was benched in that game. Dude, the box score is insane when you look at this one, right? Jacksonville, 410 yards of offense. Baltimore, 186. Like, that's not even I mean, really? 410 to 186?
That's Madden stuff.
Yes.
Ooh.
Leonard Fournette, 17 carries for 59 yards. Blake Bortles, Brady-like, 20 of 31, 244.
Brady-like.
Yeah, Brady-like. Yeah, speaking of Brady-like, you know what Brady-like is? I'll tell you what Brady-like is. Brady-like is salvaging a win against, may I tell you, Deshaun Watson and the Texans put up a fight yesterday in Foxborough. They led, and yeah, you know who went Brady-like. You know what Brady-like is? Brady-like is scoring and tossing a 25-yard touchdown pass with 23 seconds left to win 36-33 to Brandon Cooks. Yeah. Formerly of your New Orleans Saints, Brandon Cooks. Yeah. Yeah. The Bears, I mean, dude, I haven't even spoken to Rafael Esperanza. You know why? He's probably out spending money. I mean, Vegas must have cleaned up yesterday.
Oh,
no way the Bills were favored over the Broncos. 26-16, Buffalo won that way. No way the Bears were favored on the Steelers. 23-17, no. Chicago won there. And the Lions got robbed. I don't know how else to say it. 30-26, the stupid Dirty Birds won 30-26. I'm sorry. I was fuming. I was happy. I did a preemptive tweet. I should know better. You know, it's like congratulating
robbed.
The Lions for winning.
The Lions Bahahaing
the Falcons. Anyway, and Joey, your Colts and Browns, so close, the Browns. They've played better this year. They have yet to still have a win, however. Okay, so.
Well, you're the best 0-3 team they have.
No win. Oh, the best 0-3 team in the NFL? That's fine.
Yeah.
Buccaneers, Vikings, Minnesota 34-17 there. Tampa Bay may want to put on hold the Super Bowl plans they were having after one game. I thought that was an interesting game. Eagles and Giants, that was a game where New York had nothing going offensively. It scored two TDs late by Odell Beckham Jr., who celebrates, Joey, I think, a way that I think there's got to be video of you on Facebook celebrating this way. Did you see how he celebrated after one touchdown?
Yeah.
He got on all fours, hands and knees.
And did the doggy thing.
And did the doggy relieving himself.
Mm-hmm.
lifting his leg. I've never seen that before.
And then the flag flew.
I mean, what did he get flagged for in sportsmanlike conduct?
Doing the business.
Giving him the business. I see what you just did there. Uh-huh. You know what's interesting? You say that. But did you see Von Miller in the Broncos game?
Yeah.
He got flagged. So he hits Tyrod Taylor. And he goes to pick him up. He extends his hand. Then he goes, the psych.
Yeah.
And they threw an unsportsmanlike penalty on him.
Yeah.
And they called it taunting. I'm like, how is that taunting? Are you serious?
Playing the fool. That's not taunting.
Another game that I think was surprising, probably the betters. Titans 33, Seahawks 27. By the way, Eagles-Giants, a 61-yard field goal by a rookie kicker.
Sweet.
Knocked out the Giants, and head coach Ben McAdoo said that the first one keeps getting delayed.
Yeah. Rudy.
Exactly.
Carried him off the field.
Dude, seriously, 61 yards, man. They're 2-1. Titans 2-1 after that win. And another one, Packers-Bengals. Bengals could have won this game, and Packers found a way to win it, though. They're 2-1, 27-24 the final there. Chiefs, they're solid, 3-0, 24-10 the final. Again, another one that I'm sure Raphael probably enjoyed. Redskins 27,
yeah.
Raiders 10.
Wow.
Oakland didn't show up. I that was a boring Sunday night game. I wanted some action. I thought Washington kind of control that one. Who you like tonight, Joey? Cowboys and Cardinals.
If they kneel, they're not going to like the Cowboys because Jerry Jones is angry. I'm going with the Cardinals, man. I think the Cardinals will do it.
Going with the Cards. They're 1-1. Cowboys 1-1.
Tyrone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Honey Badger.
I thought what was interesting last week was out of that game, they said that Ezekiel Elliott didn't give enough effort, that he kind of quit on the team. In that game because the run game didn't get going there. And Coach Jason Garrett and he were going to have a little discussion during the week. So let's see how they respond on that as well. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Saints-Panthers, though, again, 34-13. Thanks to everybody that tuned in and said who got it. You know, and you see, I didn't do anything. Michael on Twitter, darn it, Gustavo, hashtag 7 interceptions. I did not say Drew was going to get interceptions. I was just saying he was asked.
Yeah.
He was asked, what is it like to not throw picks so far this season?
Obviously, that's been a huge point of emphasis for our team, for me personally. And just, again, trying to be efficient, put us in the best position to win.
See? That's all that was. Do not equate me playing a soundbite of Drew Brees talking about having thrown a picks with that. That's two completely different things. I'm not saying he'll never throw a pick again. That's not what I said. He's throwing 7 picks on Sunday, isn't he? He's throwing 7 picks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. First half.
He's throwing a pick 6, first play of the game.
Oh, yeah.
I just know it.
And you can hear the crowd, Gus!
The curse. You know what? But it would be an interesting Buffalo Wild Wings if I walk in and people are tapping a bat to their palm of their hand and I know what's coming after the show. Anyway, it's been a pleasure. Live at Pels Media Day. Had fun with Coach Gentry, Jordan Crawford chimed in, Drew Holiday, Tony Allen. Boogie's still taking pictures, so we're not going to get a chance to get him because we have to wrap up. Matt Moscone, after further review, he's up now. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.